Come on, somebody praise his name. Somebody praise his name, that name of Jesus. Oh, it's higher than any other. It's worthy of all praise. It's worthy of all glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. We love you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Praise his name. Amen, amen. I tell you what, there's studies that have shown that the most wonderful or pleasing sound to any person is the sound of their own name. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but we like to hear our name. So that's why salesmen, when they get your name, they repeat it. And they talk to you and address you by name because they want you to like them and feel good about what you're about to buy. Well, you know what? I don't know if that applies to the Lord, but I think he loves it when we praise his name. And we lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. We praise your name today. We thank you, Lord, for your power, your spirit, your anointing, for what you're going to do here tonight. We worship you. We praise you, oh, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Good to see everybody here on this Wednesday night. If you missed Sunday, you missed a wonderful, wonderful time together and worshiping God, believing together. And I just feel like we preached about mountains being moved and the power that God has given us to operate in even the supernatural. And I feel like there were some mountains moved Sunday, but I feel like there are some more represented here tonight that it's just, you're right there. You're right there. There is a miracle. There is an open door. There is something that's about to take place. There's something that's about to happen. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't you dare give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop believing God for it, because you're right there. You're right there. Amen. And it could be that even here in this service tonight, God is going to complete what he has started. Amen. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Looking again at verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another translation says the last part of that verse like this: the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Does anybody want to be powerful in your prayers? Amen. Does anybody want to be effective in your prayers? Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe it's God's calling. I believe it's God's will. I believe God is wanting us to be powerful and effective in prayer. And so tonight I want to talk to you about three righteous prayers. Three righteous prayers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere of praise and worship that's here. And we just pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would encourage, that you would strengthen our faith. I pray that you'd help us to realize the power that we have given to us through prayer. I pray that you'd help us to use that power, to tap into it, God, to change our world, to change this church, our families, God, this city, for the kingdom of God. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. During the time of our text, Israel was in such a sad state. James talks about Elijah, and of course James was in the New Testament, but Elijah in the Old Testament. During that time, Israel was in such a just a very sad state. The leaders and the people were so very evil. And we read of Ahab and Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. It was just a light thing. It wasn't a serious thing to him. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built and had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. When the word of God declares something twice, you better take notice of it. It's important. God's trying to drive something home. He's trying to get a point across. And here in these verses, we read two times that Ahab did more evil. He did more to make God angry than all the kings of Israel that went before him. He walked in sin. He married the daughter of a pagan king and began to worship her false god, Baal, with her. He built a temple and places to worship that idol. And this is the king of Israel. The king of Israel. This is God's chosen people, and this is their leader, their king, who is worshiping Baal. But God had a man that he would use in the midst of this sinful period of Israel. And we don't ever need to think that this world has gone too far for God to use somebody to shine a light of truth. Amen. Don't ever look around you and think, well, this world is just too sinful. This world is too dark. It's too bound. And God can't use anybody because it's just too dreadful out there. But I want to tell you, God can use a man. He can use a woman. He can use a young person. He can use a child. Amen. It doesn't matter who it is. God can use someone to stand up for righteousness and give them the word to speak and give them ability to stand and give them the power of his spirit to work. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, just after all the evil ways of Ahab are mentioned, and now we read, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. As bold and as comfortable as Ahab was with sin, so was Elijah bold to stand up for righteousness. Thank the Lord. One of the brightest shining stories in all of the Old Testament is the testimony of Elijah's life, proclaiming truth in the midst of a land overrun with Baal worshipers who were supported by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And as dark as this period of Israel's history might be, we see the bright point of Elijah's ministry. Elijah, the only one of all the prophets who had the honor of being translated, that he should not die. And as the Lord carried him up, he became one of, him and Enoch that did not die were translated. Elijah had the honor of being with Moses later in the New Testament at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Elijah the prophet, he stood against the world, it seemed. But he was a righteous man, and he knew how to pray. He knew how to pray. He heard from God, and God used him mightily. The story of Elijah, it begins kind of abruptly. There's not a lot of lead-in to the story. Usually, when a prophet enters the scene, we have a little background information on them, who his dad was, and what made them special, and some kind of account about who they were. But Elijah kind of drops onto the scene without much of that. After all, what matters to God is not who we are, not where we're from, not who our parents are. What matters to God, are we His? God's looking for somebody. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter who you are or who you aren't. He's looking for somebody to say, I'm His. Lord, I'm yours. And however you want to work and however you want to use me to fit into your plan, God, I'm willing to let your power flow and work through me. Are we His? Are we sensitive to His Spirit? Can we hear His voice? Can we tune in to the moving of the power of God? And I believe that we need to pay attention to the life of Elijah, the great prophet. He didn't have much in the way of a name or a background, but God used him to make a great difference against sin and evil. And even though nobody knew who he was back then, everybody that knows just a little bit about the Bible today recognizes the name of Elijah. And we're not serving God to make a name for ourselves. At least we shouldn't be. But don't you listen to the lies of the enemy telling you all the reasons why you can't be used, why God can't work through you, why God can't use you, why God can't do powerful things through you. Don't listen to those lies of the devil. What matters is your relationship with God. Amen. Do you know the one who holds all power in his hand? Do you know the one that can save every person from every sin? Do you know the one that has authority over every principality and over every kingdom of darkness and over everything of this world? Do you know him? Come on, that's where the power is. That's where the authority is. And that's where we get our name. Oh, don't strive for a name among this earth, but strive for a name, oh, that's above every other name. Strive to have that name written upon your forehead. Strive to have that name written upon your heart. That's what matters today. Hallelujah. We're going to look at three righteous prayers. We read in our text today in James 5 and 17, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly. This was not just a little prayer here and there. It was not just, well, I'm about to eat, so I got to say a little prayer. It wasn't just praying every time he got in trouble. It wasn't praying just when he needed a healing or a blessing. But Elijah was a man of prayer. All throughout his life, we see prayers that he prayed. Why is prayer so important? Because we are subject to like passions. Just like Elijah was, he had a nature just like us. He was a human being just like we are. What does that mean? Well, Elijah had feelings and emotions and shortcomings just like we do. He had a body of flesh just like we do. And that means that Elijah wasn't perfect, just like we're not perfect. He didn't get everything right. Every once in a while, he got a little upset, just like we get upset from time to time. But his earnest praying, it helped him to keep that flesh in subjection to the will of God in his life. Why is prayer important? Because we're subject to like passions. We have a flesh body that we are caught up in. But when we pray and when we seek the will of God and we seek the blessings of God in our life, it puts that flesh on the altar. Oh, come on, every once in a while, we got to get to the altar. If it's been a week or two or three since you've been to the altar, you need to make a way to the altar tonight before we're done here, because you need to put your flesh on that altar and say, God, I don't want to be led by my feelings and emotions. I don't want to be led by my humanity, but I want to submit myself to you. Hallelujah. Our feelings and emotions, they will lie. They will lie. If you listen to emotions, they'll have you running all over the place. If you pay attention only to feelings, feelings get hurt. Feelings feel sorry for themselves. Feelings, they get bitter. They judge everybody around them. They stay home from church. They skip out on prayer times. Feelings and emotions will get us into trouble. And when we don't pray, we're not led of the Spirit. We're led of our feelings and emotions. We're led by our flesh. We do what our flesh thinks is right. And we may think we're right, but those feelings and emotions will lie to us. And Satan will deceive us. He is a great deceiver. He loves to take a little bitterness that we allowed in somewhere or a little hurt feeling about something that someone said to us somewhere, or we come to church and somebody didn't shake our hand and the music wasn't exactly to our liking and did you see what so-and-so did on Facebook? And Satan will deceive us into thinking that some little bitty issue is much bigger than what it really is. And he deceives people into thinking that it's worth backsliding over. It's worth falling out of church over. It's worth losing their soul over. But he is a liar and the father of lies. Come on, we've got to learn that we've got to submit ourselves to the Lord. We've got to find an altar and we've got to pray through those things because we have an eternal soul and the destination of our eternal soul. I tell you, it's more important than feelings and emotions and our flesh. God, I've got to be saved and my family's got to be saved. We've got to make it no matter what. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to tell you, in life we are going to have times that people treat us wrong. Is there anybody here that you've never, ever been treated wrong? Okay, well, good. I was about to be a prophet. I was going to tell you, well, you're about to be. So, because you live long enough, and you will be treated wrong. You'll be treated unfairly. But don't lose your soul over it. Hallelujah. You know, being pastor is, well, there's several definitions in the Bible for it, but one of the definitions is having watch over someone's soul. And when people miss church, I want to tell you, this church is wonderful, and I want to tell you, before church starts, My phone will blow up with text of, well, this one's sick and that one's out of town. And I appreciate that because there are sometimes I don't know. And when church starts and we look out and we say, well, this one's not here and that. And sometimes I don't know and we wonder, is everything okay? Amen. Is everybody doing okay? And I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm trying to talk about missing church. You miss one church service, you can make it back. But it's usually a little struggle. You miss two church services, it's hard. Because your flesh is out of whack. And it's like, oh, I just kind of rather stay home tonight. I'd rather go to bed early. By the time you miss three or four church services, you're not led of the Spirit at all. We, okay, I'm talking about all of us, and I'm not saying don't take vacations and don't do things like that, but we've got to remember the more we stay away from the house of God, the more that old flesh starts rising up and getting stronger. And we better not make decisions when we're in that kind of mentality. Because we're not led of the Spirit, we're led of flesh. Oh, help us, Lord. I want to tell you tonight, feelings and emotions will lead us astray. The devil will deceive us. The flesh will mess us up. But I want to tell us tonight, there is a still, small voice. There's a still, small voice. Oh, we like to hear the loud voice. Lord, rent one of those planes that ride it up in the sky so I can see it and know that's the will of God for me. Lord, put your hand on my shoulder while I'm driving down the road and speak loud and deep as your voice is always portrayed. If God did that, y'all would probably be so scared you wouldn't even hear what he had to say. But it's not usually that way. It's a still, small voice. You don't hear that still, small voice when we're busy and caught up with the details of life. We don't hear that still, small voice when we don't make it a priority to hear that still, small voice. We don't hear that still, small voice always when we come to church service and everybody there is worshiping and it's loud and God will speak, but usually when he really speaks to us, it's going to be in time where we're in a quiet place. Maybe we've got a Bible spread open before us and there's drops of tears on those pages. And in our heart, we begin to hear him talk to us. I feel that God is wanting to talk to us in a special way. Hallelujah. And he said, would you just make a little room for me? Would you make a little time for me? You've been busy lately. You've been caught up with all of this, but I want to talk to you in a still, small voice. If we can push past all the noise of life, if we can ignore the loudest things around us, those things that seek to direct our life down the wrong road, if we can listen for that still small voice of God, then we can know what is right to do. We can know the right way to go, the right will of God for our life. That is the first righteous prayer that we're talking about tonight. We need to pray that we know what is right. Pray that you know what is right. God, help us to see past the lies of the enemy. Help us to ignore the will of our flesh. Help us to move past emotions and feelings to the place in prayer where we're sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we hear the voice of God so that we can know what is right and we can know the will of God for our lives. Oh, how many people, they start off the journey so confidently. They act like it's God's will, but they haven't even prayed a bit. They haven't even sought the Lord over it. They haven't had an earnest prayer meeting. They say, well, it's God, because it's really their own will. But a righteous man, a righteous woman prays earnestly, as Elijah prayed, to know God's will in their life. We need to make a practice of asking God, what is the right thing to do? God, I've got a decision to make. What is the right decision to make? What's the right thing to say? What's the right attitude to take? What's the right direction that we need to go? And then don't stomp off impatiently if he doesn't answer right away. But wait until he answers. Pray that we know what is right. And then once we know what is right, we need to pray for the strength to act on it. Pray for strength to do what is right. It's not always easy to do the right thing. It's not always the most popular way to go. There there's a lot of others in the world and even some in the church who have not taken time to hear from God. They haven't had that earnest time in His presence seeking His will for their lives. And people like that, they're full of advice. Oh, they can tell you everything you'd ever want to know and a whole lot more. Well, you ought to do this, and I think this is how it ought to be done. And once God speaks to us about the right thing, we need to pray for strength to do what is right. I can remember a few years ago, I'm not going to tell you how many, but I had served as various positions on the Texas District Youth Committee, and they elected me to become the president of the Texas District Youth Ministries. And oh, a lot of people want that position. But I want to tell you, once you get it, oh, goodness. Oh, I tell you what, it's work, it's spiritual battles, it's craziness. But I can remember the election was just a little bit before youth camp, and we're there getting ready for youth camp, and there was an old boy that he'd had a lot to say for a lot of years, and he thought he knew how it needed to be done, and it was over a situation of how many lights needed to be in the tabernacle directed on the platform. And, you know, we tried to have a mix of being godly and having an attractive platform, okay? And this guy had it in his mind that we were going to have a light show. And so I walked into the tabernacle on Sunday night. Youth camp starts Monday morning, and I see, oh, my goodness, am I at a concert or am I at a church? And so I pulled the guy over to the side and said, hey, you know, we're gonna need to make some adjustments here and there and there. And he didn't like that too much. I want to tell you, sometimes when God speaks to you and He tells you what's right, you got to stand against some discouragement, even some hateful comments at times. And it ruffled his feathers because, and none of you know who this is, so I could tell the story, but it ruffled some feathers because it had been a long time that people had listened to that voice in that direction. Sometimes you've got to stand and say, God told me what is right. It's not that I'm going to be mean about it. It's not that I'm going to be bitter. But God, give me the strength to stand. It may not be the easy thing to do or the popular thing, but if it's right, then God, we need to give us strength. I tell you, that's a righteous prayer to pray. And I believe if we'll pray for strength to do what's right, God will give us the strength to stand, to say the right thing, to go the right direction, to make the right decision. And God will help us stand against any opposition. Don't you know Elijah had to have some strength to stand in that day? Come on, it seemed like the whole nation had forsaken God and was worshiping the idol Baal. And Elijah didn't have a big army backing him up. And it seemed like it was one man against a whole nation. But don't forget who was on his side. He was not alone. Brother Pruitt, he had at least 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. But beyond all of that, even if he was the only man standing against a whole nation, God was on his side. God was on his side. And it took supernatural strength to look in the face of Ahab and say, it shall not rain for 3 years as judgment for the sin that you have brought upon Israel. Don't you know Elijah was public enemy number one? But the Lord provided for him. He took him by a little brook and he fed him with meat and with bread and water. And when the brook dried up, he took him to Zarephath. And there he was a blessing to a widow. And there was a miracle that provided for them and for her son. And when he came face to face with Ahab, Ahab said to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel. You see, spirits that don't identify with the spirit inside of you, they look at you and think you're the issue. They don't understand what's going on. Come on, have you ever met somebody and something reacted inside of them and inside of you, and the spirit that was inside of them didn't get along with the spirit that's inside of you? Oh, I want to tell you, the spirit inside of them hates what you stand for. The spirit inside of them hates what the power is inside of you. Don't get discouraged thinking about how people who are not spiritual don't like you. They can't help that they're not led by the same spirit you are. You just keep standing for God, and you let God work out the details. Hallelujah. Ahab says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? Notice what happens next in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of my God. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Once we know what is right, we need to pray for the strength to do what is right. In the face of opposition, in the face of the enemy, in the face of unpopularity. Come on, if God tells you what's right, then you don't listen to the rest. You let God be your guide. You let God show you the way to go. And when we stand for what's right, God is going to give us the strength. Praise the Lord. Come on. Sometimes you've got to just say, Lord, I don't have the strength to do this, but I'm standing upon your word, I'm standing upon your promises, and I'm going to believe that in the moment that comes when I need that strength, you're going to give it to me. And God, there's going to be a victory for you. You're going to get the glory, you're going to get the praise, and your kingdom's going to go forward. Praise the Lord. Come on, I believe that we're standing at the, come on, somebody's standing at the edge of a mountain tonight. Somebody's standing at the edge of a miracle tonight. You keep standing. You keep believing. You keep standing for what's right. You declare truth. You declare the promises of God. It's about to come to pass. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shadamondo rabasatra. Shandabaralabasoto kororaliandabaya. Hallelujah. The third righteous prayer. We need to pray for righteous authority. We're not anything by ourselves. We're just a mud pie. We're just flesh that he's filled with his spirit. Hallelujah. That he breathed the breath of life into. We don't have any authority to do anything by ourselves. Remember in Acts chapter 19 when the sons of Sceva, they thought they had it all figured out and they were going to go cast out some devils, but they didn't have a relationship with God to back them up. And so they tried their thing and that devil answered them and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? That's something you don't want to hear right there. And the devil jumped on them, and the scripture says it overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. The next verse says it was a witness to everyone in Ephesus, and fear
fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Hey, we don't have any authority, but there is one who has all authority. Hallelujah. And at his name, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Don't you dare go into battle without having the name of Jesus with you. Don't you dare go into battle without having the weapons of warfare that are available to us, the power that God has given us to use. We need to be backed by the supernatural power of God. Come on, you have more power than you think. You have more power than you think. This is really a power thing. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And through the power of the Holy Ghost in us, we can see the mountains move. We can see miracles come to pass. We can see lost souls delivered of everything they're bound by. Come on, I believe there's a promise. I believe there's a breakthrough on the way. I believe that there's more mountains that are about to be moved. But it's going to take the supernatural power of God.
Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I don't want to pass over fasting. It doesn't need to be just, well, once a year we go on a fast as a church. No, you need to have a lifestyle of fasting. We all need to have a lifestyle of fasting. We all need to have a lifestyle of prayer. If we know what is right, and that comes through prayer, and if God gives us the strength to do what's right, and that comes through prayer, then we trust in him to back us up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We can't deliver anybody in our own strength. You don't have, somebody put it like this, you don't have the power to heal a fly of a headache. Now you could do that, maybe that would take care of it. But we can't save anyone ourselves. We can't heal anyone. But I want to tell you, I've had a little, he's 11-year-old now, lay his hands and pray a prayer of faith on me. And I felt the healing virtue of the power of God start flowing through my body. Hallelujah. Come on. God wants to use more than just the pastor. God wants to use more than just the preacher. More than just the Bible college students. Come on, if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, then God wants to use you. He's given you that power. Hallelujah. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you have that power. And God is calling us to operate in that dimension of supernatural authority. Elijah stood there on the mountaintop. And at that moment, he seemed like he was the only one against all of those false prophets and against all of those people who had been worshiping Baal. And he stood there and he called upon his God. Oh, he wasn't the first up. He came after all those prophets, cried out all day long and begging and pleading and trying to get their dead God's attention and cutting themselves. And he kind of played with them a little bit. Oh, I think your God's on vacation. And I think maybe he can't get a little louder. And he kind of stirred it up a little bit. But after they'd done all that they could do, then it was the time for Elijah to say, okay, we're going to prove whose God is God. It will be the God that answers with fire. And just so there couldn't be any accident or any question about what really happened, they dug a ditch around the altar and they poured all those barrels of water over the sacrifice and it ran off into the ditch around it. And then he prayed a prayer of faith and God answered from heaven by fire. Not only did it consume the sacrifice,
but it lapped up the water that was around the sacrifice. I want to tell you, when God does something, he doesn't do it halfway, but he does it all the way, and it'll give him glory. It'll give him praise and honor. Come on, somebody needs to just realize God's about to do it in your life. God's about to move that mountain. God's about to open that door, and everybody's going to know that it was the hand of the Lord. It wasn't your strength. It wasn't how good looking you were, but it was the power of God that moved through you. Hallelujah. You get yourself in a prayer room and you say, Lord, what is right? What do I need to do? Give me the answer. Let me see your will. And then you pray, God, give me the strength to stand for what is right. Give me the strength to say no to the devil. And God, I pray that you would back us up with apostolic authority so that you will come through and your will be done. Come on, is anybody here tonight? You've got some miracles. You've got some mountains you're believing to be moved. Come on, you need a healing in your body. You need a touch in your mind. I wonder if you'd gather with me in this altar area right now. We're going to pray the prayer of faith and believe that God is going to back up his word, that God is going to answer prayers in this house. Come on, he is able. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Duff, can you come help me?